Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
97.1 FM Talk. On demand audio.
It's a band called First Aid Kit, and the song is My Silver Lining. It's our first bump here of the 5 o'clock hour. I always post the bumper music list at Mark Reardon KFTK if you'd like to follow on the X, formerly Twitter. And don't forget, my bunny Oreo has a new page on Instagram. Oh, it is a smashing success. You can follow him at Oreo Smorio the Bunny. Oreo Smorio the Bunny. Sue laughs at that. It was the best I could do.
Well,
Oreo the
Bunny was taken. There are a lot of Oreo bunnies out there.
There are.
Yeah.
Well, I told you, he's a
Who
Dutch.
Knew?
Well, he's a Dutch, and a Dutch is essentially, most of them are black and white. There's brown. So that's why, I'm telling you, you've never had, gone through the it's a very traumatic experience trying to name a pet with children, because they come up with the dumbest things. But this was one where Alexis saw this bunny when we got him in Howard County. She's like, Oreo, because it was like a no-brainer.
Sure.
All right, there
Apparently
you go.
All the kids of America named him
well,
the same thing.
There's a few out there, for sure. Killmeat's coming up here in a few minutes. Senator Schmidt as well. And then we'll spend a little time on audio cut of the day, maybe going back to Bob Uecker's passing as well. And David Lynch, the director, died today as well. But I've been following the CNN defamation case, and it is interesting. It's about to wrap up. Jessica Kosciuszko is with us with the Free Beacon. She's been doing great work. I'm following all your stuff on Twitter, Jessica. But this thing is coming down now to the end, isn't it?
Yeah, hi. Thanks so much for having me on. I had to just step out of the courtroom. We're still here. We're expecting a verdict either today or sometime early tomorrow morning. And the first part of that deliberation and verdict is whether or not the jurors think CNN is liable for defamation, and then how much money the plaintiff, Zachary Young, who's a Navy veteran, how much money he should get. And then tomorrow, if they do find CNN liable, it's how much punitive damages CNN has to pay. And really, that's going to be the number that gets to that $1 billion number that's been thrown around a lot. That's the one where this is something CNN has to learn not to do again.
So, Jessica, one of the things, and I talked about this a little bit earlier today, and I know that you've done some reporting on this, and Nick Fontecchio as well, but did the judge actually force CNN's attorney to apologize to the jury because they misled them last week?
Yeah, there's been a lot. The judge, he's really great from what I've seen from afar, but there's been sorry, give me just one second. CNN's attorney had to apologize this morning as well to the plaintiff, Zachary Young, because he basically accused the plaintiff of lying in his deposition and his testimony, even though he had no evidence for that. So he didn't only just have to apologize to the plaintiff. He also actually had to apologize to the judge, because he improperly referred to the judge instead of Your Honor yesterday. He referred to the judge as Mr. Henry, his last name. And the judge said very well, like, he doesn't normally care about things like that, but it seemed like it was a point of attack, and he was not okay with that. So there's been a lot of that.
You know, and I don't know if you need to comment on this because you're a reporter, but I've listened to some of the testimony because you guys have been, you know, streaming some of this, and it just seems like, and this guy's name is David Axelrod, is not the same guy you see, you know, breaking down politics. He seemed like he was in a little bit over his head on this.
Yeah, and it's interesting, too, because he's definitely done stuff before. From what I understand, he's the same part of the same team of attorneys that Amber Heard hired for her appeal. So he knows what he's doing. So I'm not really sure if it's just because it's here in Florida. He doesn't really feel like he's comfortable here. I really don't know what it is, but he's definitely a pretty accomplished attorney. So
is there a way to read the jury from your perspective or not?
Yes, kind of. I mean, really what I've been paying attention to is the questions that they've had for the witnesses, especially the two final witnesses that spoke today and yesterday. Some of the questions, the way that they were framed, were very pointed. And these were questions for people that that CNN put up. For instance, one of the reporters that spoke yesterday, a CNN reporter, her name is Katie Bo Lewis, she spoke yesterday, and one of the jurors asked her if CNN feels that every single person is obligated to speak to them. Like the way these questions were framed, it was very clear that some of them had already made up their minds.
Interesting.
Now, it needs to be a unanimous jury. So we're about 2 hours in. Hopefully we'll find out tonight. If not, tomorrow is going to be the day. And it's the last day. This is not going into the third week.
Jessica, great reporting. I've been following from afar. We'll keep people posted. I appreciate it. Thanks for coming on.
All right.
Jessica Costescu is with the Free Beacon, and her and Nick are doing great work. I mean, this is what the attorney, man, you have no idea. I'm trying to not to be as excited as I really am, because I think this jury is going to put the freaking hammer down here. And it's about more than just this case and Zachary Young. And this is what Mr. Friedman, the attorney for Zachary Young, said. We ask you, addressing the jury, he says it's about sending a message. We ask you to send that message loud and clear. End this madness. Bring American journalism back to the center. Bring Walter Cronkite back. We used to turn on our news and we could rely on what was there. We can't anymore. You have the ability to fix it. You have the ability to send the message. Please do it. I don't think this jury can fix journalism, because I think it's broken forever, unfortunately. The good news is there's good journalism taking place at alternative publications and outlets right now.
Yeah.
But in this particular situation, I think that attorney is right. People are frustrated. I think this jury is going to send a real strong message, and it's going to be fascinating how big the number is. And again, as a reminder, there was a settlement offer. CNN wanted to settle, and they said, nope, not with that number. We'll see if we get to $1 billion. Senator Schmidt is coming up in just a little bit. But first, Brian Kilmeade back with us. You heard him this morning on 97.1 FM Talk. He hosts One Nation every Saturday night, 8 p.m. Central. Brian, welcome back. How are you?
I want Brian Kilmeade.
Well, that's not him. There he is.
Oh, good, Mark. How are you?
Good. You're coming back to St. Louis in March, we hear, right?
Yeah, March 22nd. I will be there, so at the factory. So hopefully you'll be there.
Absolutely.
And I will work my way backwards from that. That's all that matters.
Well, I remember, we were kind of keep this top secret for a little while, but you had texted me, I don't know, 4 or 5 weeks ago and said, hey, what's this factory place like out in Chesterfield? It's awesome. It really is. Steve Shankman is a good friend. They did it right. You're going to love this venue, and the listeners are going to love it. It's a great location out in Chesterfield. So do you have any of the details you'd like to share right now?
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be 8 o'clock, and we're going to have a VIP about usually an hour, hour and a half before we get a chance to ask anything, sign books, and get pictures. And then we do the show, and I've been doing this for about 2-3 years, and we just keep developing it, getting it bigger. And we just thought there's a war on history, and now we have the comeback with Trump. And I just thought if I use my books, instead of just waiting for a book tour, or waiting for an event, or someone to say, Brian, we need you to do history or news, what if we create our own events? So I did it. It was going well. And I thought, what if I recreated some of those moments in time while having fun? So we set up sketches within each one of the books. And we also, I started out before I actually met you doing, I did 2 sports books. So we talk about, the games do count. And it's how you play the game. And overall, we put together, I think it's a pretty, really good show. And Fox Nation says we want to stream it.
So oh, yeah?
They're streaming a lot of the shows, and because I change every show's different, so I try to change it. So, and then Mark, we're working through a few skits for sure, and we'll have you up in the beginning, and it's great. I mean, it's got a chance to really interact with the audience, and this looks like a just looking at the scheme now, it looks like a huge audience. It looks like a huge venue.
It's really big, and it's just beautiful. So I'm excited because I think you probably, arguably, especially for the size of the venue, you picked the best venue in St. Louis right now. You really did.
I mean, that's right here, and that's what I wanted to do. I said, hey, guys, we got to get St. Louis going, and then when one thing leads to another between book tours and elections and specials and Super Bowls. I said, what about this year? And they said, okay, we'll work on it. We finally got a date and a time. And the way it works is you bid on them. You know, you bid on the venues, and then they got to decide what position you're in and if you're in first or second. And then you go ahead, and then they book it, and this all worked out. So now we're finally set. It's just going to for a couple of days. It's going to be a pre-sale. You just go to BrianKilmeade.com. It'll be right there. Just click on St. Louis.
Well, that's awesome. We look forward to it. Yeah, it's a Saturday night too, which is great. It's the 22nd of March. Go to BrianKilmeade.com to find out more about tickets. It's going to be exciting. You know, there's this thing that they're building. You'll probably see it when you're here. It's out there in that same area, sort of on the other side of the highway. And this thing got caught up, I think, in some snags with construction. But somebody decided to put these two huge, maybe even three concrete buildings. So big bands, let's say the Rolling Stones, although they're not going to do much more touring, but a big band is going to go on tour, Brian. They need a rehearsal space. They've built these big places out in this area where you're going to be, where bands can come in, fly into the private airport, which is right there, and set up basically an entire stage show like they would do, you know, in a tour in an arena or in a stadium and rehearse here in St. Louis. So it's kind of cool.
Oh, that should be fantastic. So I also know the area, and, you know, I also know the huge sports fans there, and also huge station fans there, so it's going to be great.
Have you cross-checked? I could do this probably while we're talking. Is our soccer team in town that weekend? Do you have any idea? We got to look at that, right?
You know what? I don't know. When did their season start? I thought it was April. Is it start as early as March?
It does. It starts in February. We'll keep chatting here, and I will look it up, and we'll see if we got a game around that time. Let's talk about Israel real quick. And, you know, one of the things I said yesterday, certainly Middle Eastern politics, not exactly my strong suit. But one thing I know, anchoring the news and doing a talk show over the years, is that ceasefire agreements don't often really hold. And this one looked like it was in jeopardy right off the bat today, didn't it?
That's what we reported all morning. That because it looked like Hamas was trying to swap out more worse killers than the killers are already getting. So they're getting a bunch of people that are going to get out now. So that's distressing because you have other people living their lives, going to work, going to school, and they get kidnapped and they get tortured. And to get them out, you got to give up killers. And that's what you're doing. You're getting people that have life sentences and 103, most of the worst of the worst. It's not I disagree with you politically or we have a different religion. They were serious criminals. So that's the agonizing part. The good part is you get 9 out, and then you're in phase one. Overall, over 42 days, 33 total hostages will get released. 9 living hostages out of the 33 will be exchanged first. Then they're going to wait 42 days somewhere in between there. If everything holds up, they're going to start with getting back. And then phase three would be all the bodies, remaining bodies of hostages returned in phase three, and a multi-year reconstruction plan for Gaza. But look, Gaza will get plenty of money. There'll be plenty of people that want to rebuild it. But the question is, are they going to build tunnels or are they going to build cities? So that's my problem with where we're at right now. And that's what Tom Cotton tweeted out. He said, this is the deal. You surrender, Israel wins. All hostages given up, or everybody in Hamas dies, and Israel and Iran, you're culpable because you're financing the whole thing, and that's really what Israel wants outside the hostage families, and that's why there's protests in the streets right now in Jerusalem, clogging up major thoroughfares because they feel as though they gave up too much. I always think Netanyahu is thinking 2 or 3 moves ahead of me, so I think that I think if you just look at this, I think that you're not seeing the whole picture. I think he knows that Trump has his back. And as soon as Israel breaks their agreement, Hamas, God, Palestinians, whatever you want to call them, whatever they want to call it themselves, as soon as they break their word, it's going to be gloves are off, as opposed to don't do it. That's what Biden was used to say.
Well, let's talk about Biden, because yesterday, you know, he was asked this question. Did Trump have anything to do with this? He turns around and goes, are you joking? But I think there's even some consensus on the left that Trump had something to do with this, Brian.
Of course. No, who said that? His own State Department.
Right, exactly.
Working together with, with their envoy to the Middle East, working together, they have made this happen with Brett McGurk. And together, and the threat and the thought of Trump's coming in has helped expedite this. So I was able to meet these Qatari officials when they were here at the United Nations. And they've been writing me. And they say, what a difference the Trump election has meant to these negotiations. And they told me along the way, they actually even told me, too, that Hamas changed the rules at the very last minute. And that's what caused the holdup this morning. They tried to slide in some guys that weren't on the list. So that was, the issue.
So let me talk about politics in Monday and the inauguration and everything that's going on with that. Because obviously, I've talked to a lot of people about this who are in the swamp, and everyone sort of agrees that there's a different tone coming in. Look, these confirmation hearings have gone pretty well. Pete did great a couple of days ago. Pam Bondi, awesome. I watched a little Marco Rubio. Even the Democrats were heaping praise, some of them, on Marco Rubio. So things seem to be going pretty smoothly into this transition, Brian.
Yeah, I mean, there's just no doubt about it. They're all going to get through. My question is, don't hold it up. You know, if obviously Pam Bondi and all these people get through, and Adam Schiff doesn't like Pam Bondi, that's a news alert. But it hurts the country when you don't have a Secretary of Defense, Secretary of State, CIA Director, DNI. It hurts the country when you can't have a Homeland Security Secretary. So understand, they're getting through. They got the votes. Have the vote. Because you're not helping anybody by delaying it, just like you're not helping anybody by allowing America to buy a wall and selling off it pennies on the dollar. You're also not helping anybody by, if the Supreme Court tells you you can't forgive student loans, just committing billions of dollars that are not yours towards paying off student loans that a lot of people right now welding are not too happy about.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps.
Beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring amazing special guests from the cast and crew.
After that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, let me talk and ask you a little bit about California, because I was simply glued to a lot of this coverage late last week and into the weekend. I've handed it to these fire crews, because as bad as it was last Tuesday and Wednesday out there in the Palisades and Altadena, I watched so many of these crews do amazing things on Friday, Saturday, Sunday, into yesterday when the winds finally died down. But Brian, how do you even start to recover out there?
I mean, I think I mentioned to you in 92, all my stuff burned, but I was just living by myself in an apartment. And, I lost all my belongings. I didn't lose, like, my family didn't have to worry about school. I didn't lose a house or a mortgage. I just had nowhere to live. So what you do is you immediately scramble and you try to get organized. And now that you could do stuff online, unlike in 1992, that you got to get a plan. And I think right now is you pass the point, well, woe is me. How do I do this? And you need to take action. Number one, I think it's, everyone gets $44,000 right off the top. I believe that's coming their way. At which time you have speed matters. You got to get a place to live. And I don't think a mobile home should be out of the question, especially if you can plug in somewhere and get some electricity while you figure out what's next, because I'm hearing terrible stories about gouging. So do you want to go spend, $45,000 for a place that costs $20,000? I mean, that's what I'm hearing.
Yeah, no, I know. There was one account, I think it was in the Wall Street Journal, where someone was, this was last week before things probably even got more intense this week, where someone, you know, was looking at a rental for $12,000, making an offer, and all of a sudden it went to $40,000 for the month. So the people that have money out there are going to try to make sure they get those properties. It's going to be a fierce competitive bidding process where I think a lot of people might lose out if they don't have the income.
Right. Absolutely. And, you know, the credit check and full-time employment, a lot of people also have jobs. They'll say their business is burned down. So what do you do, too, if you're in the middle of a mortgage, you got, you know, $1,500 payment to make? What am I paying? Really? All I have is all my belongings are burned to the ground. Why am I paying? So it clearly, if you don't have any house on a property, it's less taxes. So I think people got to make some really tough decisions right now. And I think banks got to make tough decisions, too, because they're going to have a strong argument that I gave you a loan. It's not my fault. There were wildfires. So there are so many big decisions to make. And when you see the drone shots, you cannot overstate how devastating this is. And the fact is they have not gotten the fires out. It's unbelievable. The other thing is you just don't have any leadership out there at all. You have people pointing fingers, fire chief pointing at the mayor. The mayor's in Ghana. Obviously, the governor blames the mayor. And the governor takes zero responsibility, but he deserves a lot of responsibility. So, here we go. And so it's a lot of finger pointing, but there's no Rudy Giuliani's to rise up out of the ashes, Winston Churchill to inspire the masses. So there's an opportunity now in California for real leaders to step up without elected office. I thought it could be Kamala Harris's chance. No one blames her, but everybody knows her and she wants to be governor. She could step up and start walking the streets of Orange County and Hollywood and Malibu and Pacific Palisades and saying, what do you need?
That's not going to
happen. How can I help? Not a word.
I'll be very curious to see what Trump does here, because I think it's going to, you know, take a lot of cooperation, certainly with the feds as well. Hey, one of the big stories, we lost two giants today. David Lynch, director, a big fan of his. Bob Uecker as well. And I worked with Bob Uecker almost 10 years in Milwaukee, Brian. Did you ever encounter him or interview Uecker?
You know, I did a couple of times, and he's endlessly entertaining and interesting and always self-deprecating. But at 90 years old, he was such a staple. He left the national scene after a while, but such a staple in sports. And I just thought that he was, I can remember his appearances on Carson.
Oh, yeah. Like 100 of them.
The guy mainstreamed it.
Yeah, yeah. I played some of the audio earlier. I'm going to do that. I have audio cut of the day coming up. But he was the funniest person that I've ever been around in person in my life, bar none, not even close. And in pulling some of the clips that I did today, you know, watching some of the Carson stuff, I've just been laughing my ass off here in the studio because he was certainly one of a kind. There's no doubt about that. Brian, one of the things that was great is, you know, many, many years when I was there, the Brewers were not very good at all. You get to August where there's nothing on the line, but he just shares stories. He knew that his role was not just to call balls and strikes. Right, he was trying to entertain people, and he did that endlessly. There's no doubt. Hey, what do you got coming up on Saturday night?
We got Senator Roger Wicker, chairman of the Armed Services, had a Pete Hegseth do. Got Jim Jordan. You know, Zuckerberg comes out and says, "Please read Jim Jordan's report. We gave him everything." That was his version of the Twitter files. We're gonna have James Woods from California. Believe it or not, we had James Woods, the actor, booked before the fires.
Oh, wow.
And he's been a conservative but doesn't want to do interviews, and the fires happened, and now he's out there, and he got an official title from Trump today, so that's going to be interesting. Got Mike Huckabee. He's going to be with us, and then Adam Carolla. So I think we're going to be jam-packed. I'll be going to doing it live, and we're doing it from D.C.
All right, Kilmeade, have a great weekend. BrianKilmeade.com to buy tickets for the event at the Factory, which is March 22nd. Here's what I'm thinking, Brian. I looked at this. Our team, City, plays on that very night at 6:30. You get there for a half, you go on stage, maybe 8:10, I'll get you here to the venue. How's that sound?
That sounds great.
They play
that early, right?
Yeah, 6:30. We'll do it. All right, Brian, take care.
All right, you got it, man.
Yeah, he's coming in on the 22nd. The team plays that night. He's a huge soccer fan, of course. I think he's going to probably focus on his show, and the tickets go on sale tomorrow.
Get more at 971talk.com.